We're here this morning to glorify the Lord and invite His presence into every aspect of our lives. Again, that's one of the purposes of gathering on Sunday to worship together, is to renew our expression of dependence on the Lord in all of life. And so it's a time to step away from the routine, yes, but it's also a time to celebrate the Lord's presence and to receive from Him and to bring an offering of praise to Him together. And that's what Psalm 92 does. And so I'm going to read it now in its entirety, Psalm 92. And by the way, the children are staying in the service today. And so just want you to know, kids, you're welcome. We're glad you're here today. This Together Again Sunday, we're just all going to stay together. Psalm 92 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by the 10-stringed harp and the melody of the lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. O Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. But you have made me as strong as a wild ox." I guess that was the thing at that time. "You have anointed me with the finest oil." Think of that word, anointed. We'll come back to that. "My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, 'The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him.'" Could we say together, "He is my rock" on three? One, two, three. He is my rock. And so why is it good to give thanks to the Lord right now? Where we live, where we are, in what we're doing. Why is it good to give thanks to the Lord? First of all, because He is faithful. "It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening." In the morning and in the evening. Two different expressions of the same thing. And in the Hebrew poem, this had the idea of "and all the time in between." It's always good to give thanks to the Lord. Why? For one thing, because He's faithful. The word faithful means stable. It means that He has fidelity. He's dependable. Deuteronomy 32:4, God gave Moses this word. "He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything He does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong." In other words, completely dependable, faithful. From beginning to end. Yesterday, Donna and I were driving home from just a little getaway road trip, and we asked each other, name three things that you are thankful for. And so the lists quickly grew far beyond three things. And so we need to have our eyes opened and reopened sometimes to the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Sometimes it's helpful to have a symbol to remind us that God is faithful. A man named Arlen Salt, a musician and recording artist, shared the story some years ago in a magazine that when he was a boy of seven, his father had died suddenly in an automobile crash. His dad, a pastor, had not left them a lot of funds, and his mom, Arlen's mom, had three young children and one more on the way at the time. And so she was left with very little except tremendous faith in the remarkable power of God. who saw them through miraculously all of those years. His father had had a small life insurance policy, and Arlen said that when Arlen got to be a young adult, then he inherited a few hundred dollars. What to do with this money, he didn't know, but then he decided he would buy a guitar with it. And at the time of his writing, this was 25 years later, the thing was cracked from sometimes being abused on airport ramps, and it had nicks in it, and it was kind of physically a mess, but he still used it to lead worship and to lead concerts. And he said, every time I pulled that guitar out and played, I was reminded of God's miraculous faithfulness to my mother and to us through all of those years. Why is it good to give thanks to the Lord? Because he is faithful. You could think of three things right now to be thankful for. You could, couldn't you? He is faithful. That's why we give him thanks. Why is it good? Also because of his great works. Oh Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Looking over what God has done reopens our eyes, stimulates our thinking, refreshes our spirits, opens us to the Holy Spirit coming to nurture in us renewed faith. Do you ever need to do that? Turn your mind to what you're thankful for, to God's great works in the middle, perhaps, of other things going on that are difficult in your life. His great works, whether you're looking down from the top of Fisher Peak or whether you are by Peckham's Lake in a baptismal service or whether you're sitting down or walking by Joseph Creek, you can see the glory of God's works. We see it when we hold a newborn child. We see his glory. Recently, I watched a lecture online about lower back care. It was a free lecture that came across. I thought, I'm going to watch that. And it showed, and the professor described the intricacies of our muscular and skeletal structure and how all of these things work together to hold us together and how to care for those things. It was remarkable. And my first thought as I watched this was, respectfully, I would never have enough faith to believe we evolved. This is so remarkably intricate. God is sovereign over all, but also deeply involved in your and my life. He says in verse 4, you thrill me, Lord, for what you have done for me. It's personal. God cares personally for you. Not only your back care, your soul care, your mind, your whole being. He cares about you, even in those valleys or dark moments. Because of his great works, we give him thanks. We say he's both transcendent and immanent. He's here with us. He's in us. He's for us. He intervenes in our history. But to ignore God's works, the psalmist has said, is to become a simpleton. It doesn't mean one has lower intellectual capacity. It's to become shallow. It's to not acknowledge God in our daily experience in our lives. Why is it good to give thanks to the Lord? Because he's faithful, because of his great works, and because he is forever. He's forever. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. The reason why it's good to give thanks to the Lord, he's the reference point. He'll be exalted forever. Forever. O Lord, it says, capital L-O-R-D, it's the Hebrew word Yahweh, as you know, which is, I am that I am, or I will be what I will be. God is saying, I'm the reference point. Everything else revolves around me. He's not dependent on the vicissitudes of culture or the changes of time. None of those things really impact him. He is the Lord forever. He is in and of himself. Verse 10 says, you have anointed me with the finest oil. Finest oil. The word translated anointed here isn't the typical one we see in the Bible for anointed, where they anointed a king and so on. This word means the oil was mixed into all the flour or all the bits of the meal, when they brought an offering to God and put it on the altar, first of all, if it was a cereal or a grain offering, it was mixed with the oil. And so it inundates the whole thing. And you get the picture here of God's anointing permeating the whole of your life. The Holy Spirit coming to work in, live in, and through all of your being. Jesus referenced this during a feast in Jerusalem. On the last day of the feast, he stood up and in a loud voice, he said, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare," get this first word, "rivers," not a trickle, "rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. We sometimes use the word anointing these days when we want a fresh touch from God. We want renewal in our lives or our service. We need God to reinvigorate us. Are you there this morning? Anybody here need fresh touch from God today in your life? I know I do every day. The anointing and help and power of the Holy Spirit. Paul described the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then he said that those who belong, this is in Galatians 5, 9, or 22 and following, he says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified their sinful natures and their passions and desires. Those things have been nailed to the cross of Christ. And then he says, so then we live by the Spirit, and so we'll keep walking in or keeping in step with or do everything we do by the power of the Spirit. So there's this conversion in our lives away from depending on just what I can conjure in my will or make work by my good decisions and hope it works out okay. There's this humble dependence on the Spirit, which we begin and exercise as we embrace the cross, and that means humbly offloading control to the Lord Jesus, who alone is Lord and Savior, who died for us, rose again. We live by and through the cross in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit never devoid of the work of the cross. And the cross always leading to the power of the Holy Spirit. These two things must be together in our experience. And that is the way that we live in his forever power. He is forever. And we give thanks to him. Because he is forever, he is faithful, he does great works, he is forever for us in your work tomorrow, in whatever you're doing this afternoon. He is Lord forever. And then finally, we give him thanks because he makes us flourish. He makes us flourish. God's people in the Old Testament flourished in numbers and in influence. He says, but the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. The palm tree was straight and tall, symbolized dignity. And the cedar, strong and emphasizing strength. And so he's saying these represent what the people of God are like, his flourishing people. Do you think like someone who... Here's a good question for us each to ask ourselves. Do I think like someone flourishing? Or do I think like someone floundering? We could all be transparent, I suppose, and say, at least as I could say, at times, I trend, my thinking can trend towards someone like someone floundering, not flourishing. I've hit some low valleys in my life at times. Maybe you have too. But I do know how to walk through those and out of them. But they're real. And sometimes we don't invite them. They happen. Circumstances lead to them and so on. But this psalm explains why and how we flourish. His people receive from God his eternal presence. Scripture even says we are partakers of his divine nature. He imparts himself to us. And this says they are transplanted into the Lord's house. They flourish in the courts of our God. God moves us when we accept Christ into our lives. He transplants us into his family, his household. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit, as we see elsewhere in Scripture. It reminds us of Jesus' familiar words. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches, and those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. John 15:5. But the psalm goes even further than saying we belong in the household of God, we've been transplanted. It says this in verse 14, even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. Now, it's not a denial of the aging process. It doesn't pretend we don't get older. But we don't. Just saying. But rather, it's an acknowledgement that in the Lord and in his provision, there is hopefulness, youthfulness, spiritual life, and vitality that doesn't fade with time. You see, your spirit doesn't grow old. The body, But the spirit, no. The spirit remains youthful and strong in the Lord. What a wonderful gift to the church are older people who still walk with Christ in the presence of the Lord. What a beautiful gift you are to the body of Christ. I hope we never underestimate the power of your lives. I hope you don't underestimate or neglect that. You can define what older means if you like. I think if you're 15, older means 30. I think if you're 30, it probably means 45. If you're 45, it probably means 60. If you're 60, it probably means 100. I don't know. Older people who have walked with Christ and who are models of faith and refreshing and vitality, who exhibit hope in the valleys of life and love and keep the faith, they still produce fruit. How many of you remember really well, it's confession time, remember really well the 1960s? Yes, thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Just come forward here. How many of you were adults in the 1970s? Adults in the 1970s. Adults. You were grown-ups. About the 80s and 90s. 80s and 90s, people, you were grown-ups in the 80s and 90s. Okay, others who didn't raise your hand, just look around. These people, you should be able to go to these people and say, hey, I need some advice. I need some help. I need you to pray for me. And if you raise your hands, you should be one who says, oh, well, I don't know anything, but I'll listen. I'm kidding, you know a lot, but the opener is to listen always. So, just for the moment now, those of you who raised your hands, I'm only talking to you. The rest of you, you can get another breakfast sandwich if you like. But your day will come. The next generation desperately needs you. Desperately needs you to walk in faith. They are going through confusing times just like you did. They desperately need you to be faithful, to be loving, to be kind, to be hope-filled. They need you to be their prayer warriors, prayer partners. They need you to stand by them and keep on. They need you. Your church needs you to continually accept the refreshing, renewing power of the Holy Spirit and never to be that man or woman that says, well, I've done my part. It's over. I'm too old. Roles change. Understand that. This is not a guilt trip. This is affirmation of how the power of God does not diminish in your life. God doesn't get older. In fact, you are never going to be any younger than you are right now. That's a mathematical certainty. Your church needs you to mentor other people. Each one shepherd one. You can do that. It is to watch for people who you don't know, perhaps, who are younger than you, who are new, perhaps, or you're a member of this church. They need you to come alongside and say, hey, you know what? I need to pass the torch on. I just want to encourage you to keep getting on board how we need you. They need to hear that from you. They hear it from me, but it gets old. Right? They need to hear it from you. They need to hear it from those who are seasoned in the faith. Ageism is out. It's irrelevant. Living is in. I invite you, brother, sister, if you are older, to engage. Keep engaging with those who are younger. Oh, how valuable you are. You have so much to give. You are vital and green and fruitful in the Lord. When we talk about our membership increasing by 50%, some of that comes about just because you love on people, you care for them, and you invite people on stream. You have so much to give. I know it's tempting. It's tempting as we get a little older, you define what that means again. It's tempting to just live in mourning, M-O-U-R-N, and even sadness, because we have our losses, right? Lost loved ones, friends. My dad lived to his late 90s, and he used to sometimes, every time I phoned him, he would tell me again who died. Because when you're 98, you're losing a lot of friends. And then he would say, I don't know why I'm still alive and all these young people are dying. And sometimes to him, the young people were in their 70s. It's all relative, really, who's older and who's younger. But he lived a vital life and knew younger people all his life. Our home was always filled with other younger people, even though my parents were older. Vitality. Youthfulness comes of being refreshed in the Spirit. So it's tempting to live in this, in loss, and that's real. And I'm not discouraging real and even raw grieving and mourning. That's real. You should acknowledge that. You should process it, deal with it, and share it where you need to. It's real. We're not here to pretend those things don't exist. In the Lord, they do. And He's faithful. And He helps us grow in fruitfulness through those things. So we actually have more to present to the Lord. We've been through the valleys. You know how to walk through them. Isaiah described this ministry and foretold the ministry of the Messiah when he said, to all who mourn in Israel, He will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for His glory. A lot about trees in here. The cedar, the palm tree, the great oak. I want to ask you this morning, if you this morning are saying to the Lord, not to me, just to the Lord, Lord, I need your fresh anointing. I need your fresh anointing to know how to serve you and other people with all my heart again, because sometimes life just brings me down. We're going to bow together, please, and if you want to be included in this prayer for God's refreshing, would you just stand up and signify that to him? I don't care how old you are. Just stand before the Lord and let's go to him together and in our desperation, trust him. Oh Lord, you see every one of us, you know us. You love us deeply. And oh Lord, how we need you, Holy Spirit, come. Teach us to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the intercessor ever in the presence of the Father for us. Thank you, Father, for always knowing what we need. Thank you, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill us. Satisfy us with your unfailing love and your faithfulness at night. Bless in particular those who, however it's defined, might say they feel they are among the older. I pray for a fresh greening in the Spirit, vitality from the Holy Spirit to pour through each one, gift and re-gift and translate what you've given to each one outward to others. Holy Spirit, come. May this begin today, a renewed movement of ministry in the Spirit through the gifts you give. Oh Lord, we need you, our own ingenuity. No, you, we need you. We need to glorify you, oh Lord. And so we turn to you and believe you for this fresh anointing from the Spirit that you would work and permeate in and throughout our lives. And then we pray also for those who are younger, whatever that means, for renewed life in the Spirit for them, for hope and help from the Holy Spirit. In your holy name we pray, O God. Amen. You may be seated.